What's the time? Time is the indefinite continued progress of existence and events that occurs in an apparently irreversible succession from the past, through the present, to the future. Time is a component quantity of various measurements used to sequence events, to compare the duration of events or the intervals between them, and to quantify rates of change of quantities in material reality or in the conscious experience. Time is often referred to as the fourth dimension, along with three spatial dimensions. Wikipedia. Hope you followed any of that. Yes, what's the time? I thought it was quite appropriate choosing that title for this morning, considering that we all had 3,600 seconds extra to sleep or whatever you did. I woke up at 6 o'clock this morning, felt, you know, obviously feeling like it's 7 o'clock. So I had some extra time to prepare, and I'm really thankful for that. Yes, the message from this morning has been on my heart for quite a few weeks already, and I'm going to just bring it this morning. I hope I can bring it across clear so that we can walk out here this morning refreshed by what God wants to do in our lives. I'm just going to open up in prayer first. Father, we worship you this morning. We thank you for precious time, Lord. Thank you that you have set the universes in motion and in order for us, Lord, and even the rotation of the earth, so we can stand here this morning in your appointed time, Father, so we can worship you and be in your presence. And we welcome you to minister to us this morning, Lord. I pray that you lead me and speak the truth, Father, and not to speak anything that's not from you. Worship you in Jesus' name, amen. Such a privilege to be here this morning. And I just, before I start, I want to honor each one of you for being here this morning, and not just for being here, but just walking a road together. I think it's just seeing Jane's kitchen tea baby shower yesterday is just very precious, you know, that people can come together and love one another and be there for one another. And being here in church this morning, it's really precious. You know, the last few years being in the UK for my wife and I has been a beautiful journey with all of you, and we're all growing together. And I think you'll see why I'm saying this now as well, because I'm talking about time this morning. Time in the UK has brought a new, you know, it's become more significant to me in a way since I moved from South Africa. Africa is known for having a different time, different size set of time. You know, you have a 9 o'clock meeting, but it might mean, you know, you just block out the whole morning. You know, in the UK, if you're 1 minute late, like yesterday morning, I was 1 minute late dropping off my wife where I had to drop off. And then I was 10 minutes late for my other appointment to have a breakfast with a friend. Yes. So, you know, it's just really important to be on time. Time is valued in the UK very much. Now, since I started my job 2 weeks ago, traveling to the central, you can see everybody is rushing to get to where they have to be at the right time. The time is important. You also get a better perspective on history, going to the British Museum and seeing time from 6,000 years ago all the way through to Daniel's time, the Mesopotamian area you must go visit if you haven't been there. It's so mind-boggling. If you walk in there, you see these artifacts that's been made 2,500 years ago, and it just puts things a bit in perspective, time, you know. And I mean, obviously, time has been a very big thing from way back. People like Galileo and all those people have been trying to put time into perspective. You recognize the name, Laura? The British, the English are very proud of also, you know, bringing in time. Got Greenwich. Some of you have been to the museum there with thank you, Jackie. But that's where GMT time comes from, or that time zone runs right through the middle of London, so it's really special. Although I've realized there's other types of definitions of time. There's the UT1, the UTC, the TAI, all these abbreviations have been confusing, but Friday night, I started reading up on this, and it was quite interesting. My wife had to come down after midnight to say, you need to go to bed now. But it's just so interesting. There's even something like leap seconds. Have you ever heard of that? No? I'm going to get to the sermon now, don't worry. It's just been so interesting, like leap seconds. Guys, we are 30 seconds behind TAI time, which is the International Atomic Time. So at the moment, we're 30 seconds behind time, actually. So every year, twice a year, there's the 30th of June and the 31st of December, they adjust time with the second of the two add one. There's been, I took this out of my notes now, but I think it was like 27 seconds has been added since 1957 to the actual time that we have. I was fascinated by that. But anyway, you can read up on leap seconds. Yes, time has got a new, I've got a new perspective on time since the 14th of October as well, when I started a new job. We had to move house, had to get exam results. It was just a crazy day. It was just not enough hours or seconds. I wish that day was today, actually, for the extra hour. But yes, anyway, so where am I getting to with this? It's just that time, there's two words in Greek for time. And some of you might recognize them or have heard of them before. The one is chronos, chronological time. There's a couple of companies with the name Chronos. And then there's Kairos. And Kairos is what we're going to focus on this morning. I just copied that from the internet. So that's the right Greek words. I had no idea how to speak Greek. But that's two words. And, you know, Kairos, so Chronos is what we just mentioned, what I just read about from this Wikipedia extract. And then Kairos is the right or critical moment, the opportune moment we are going to focus on this morning. So I just took a couple of, you know, pivotal moments for the 19th century. The Independent newspaper actually had this survey that they did. And I was surprised by the top three critical moments from the 19th century that came up. One was the 1945 with the end of World War II. The second was the first organ transplant in 1954. All the medical people there will appreciate that. And the third was the first heart transplant that actually happened in Cape Town, where I'm from, in 1967. That was the top three most critical moments according to this newspaper. But anyway, I was surprised that two of them had something to do with the body. Yes, so those were critical moments that happened. But then, you know, if we come to from a biblical perspective, if we look at the New Testament, the word Kairos was used 86 times. Refers to the point of time in the purposes of God, the time when God acts. So it refers to a specific moment or season, like harvest time. That was, you know, that word was used for that purpose, to say this was a point of time by God. So my point is, it's important to know what time it is. So, you know, we can so easily become set in our ways, and, you know, you get part of a routine and you do things and you go through different seasons in life, but not really adjusting to where, to the season. So we're obviously in winter now, since you can feel the temperatures drop this morning. We're in a different season, but you know, so we need to adjust for that, just dressing up. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, it says there is a season or a appointed time for everything, and a time for every delight and event or purpose under heaven. If you read on, it says there's a time for birth, there's a time for death, there's a time for war, there's a time for love, and it just goes on and on. It's a beautiful chapter to go read. The point is, yeah, if you don't know what time it is, you'll do the inappropriate thing the right time, or do the right thing at the wrong time. So the need is great. London, we all know there's a need outside of our room here this morning. And it's important for us to come to a place where we align with where God is at and where He's going, so that we can meet that need. Especially, you know, if we like step into the disciplined life that Hercules spoke about last week, we will be in the right position when God's appointed time, the Kairos moment comes, that we can be in the right time to reach out to the people with the needs and to actually, you know, make a difference. So just to maybe share a testimony, just to bring this in perspective, two and a half years ago, I had to fly to South Africa to go make amends with my parents. And that was for me a Kairos moment, and it hadn't happened overnight. It was a 20-year journey that built up, and to a moment where it was time. I had to go there on my own and sit around a campfire in the middle of nowhere, and we had to have that conversation that I haven't had with him. And that was a Kairos moment for me, and it's opened up doors. It's opened up a new season for me to now step into a place of fathering, which is something that I'm preparing for, which is what the sermon is about. It's all about preparation and getting us to a place to be ready for the next season. So please stay with me. You're all awake. hello, trying to do like Hercules does, but I can't do that. Anyway, yes, so last week, Hercules, if you haven't listened to the sermon from last week, disciplined ones, please do listen to it because you might miss a little bit of what I'm saying today. It just follows on from what he said. There's the war horse moments, there's the jackass moments. And I'm speaking actually a bit about both today. I'm not going to have too many points that I'm going to go through. I just want to present to you a concept that is in, you know, that might have been lost in translation. This Kairos moments that we need to embrace and be ready for. And, you know, sometimes it takes adjustment, but there's a lot of preparation and perseverance that goes into actually making sure we don't miss it. And that's the crucial thing for me this morning that I hope we can take with us. So there's that crossing the Jordan moments, you know, when God has really called a nation like Israel together to cross the Jordan and go conquer the promised land. That was a Kairos moment for that nation. So some of you might have had convictions already in your heart, some rumbling, some stirring in the spirit, and I want to encourage you guys to go press into what God is saying to you in this time, for us as a church, for you individually. There's some been prophetic words spoken over your life, over this church, that we need to go revisit and ask God what does he want to do for us in the season to come and to build on what has been done in the past. Some of us needs to prepare and start sowing into certain things that God has called you to sowing in. Yes, we are preparing to have a baby now, so there's a lot of preparation going into that. You know, that's a type of preparation I'm doing, and you know, reflecting also what happened 2.5 years ago to be ready for being a dad. We just moved to a new place to live, slightly bigger from what we used to have, quite bigger, much bigger. Jen loves a big kitchen, so anyway, stay to the point. It's just you know, I just feel like there's space for a home now, and we're preparing for the baby's arrival in January. So really excited. My question this morning is, do we still have an expectation for God to move? If he moves tomorrow, if 1 billion people gets added to the Christian faith in the next while, in the next season, what does that look like? I mean, if you just think London is close to 10 million people, that's 1% of 1 billion people. So there's 100 Londons that needs to, you know, imagine 100 Londons gets added to the Christian faith in a short time of, you know, we obviously won't have church in a small room like this anymore then, because there'll be many people that needs to be discipled and go through legacy or destiny courses type of thing. You know, that is something that we get really practical on. That advert was really special, actually, this morning, the first time I saw that. But that's the type of things that people will need to be taken through to come to a place of restoration, to walk into their destiny and their purposes that God has called them to a specific time. And that is what I hoping to bring across to you this morning, that we have been all been called to a specific time in eternity. And it just, you know, when you start thinking about time and your mind goes a little bit, what's the word? Mashy, haywire, boggled up. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. If you look at the Old Testament, there's many people we can focus on. People like Moses, the burning bush experience that he had, Daniel in the lion's den. There, you know, David facing Goliath, there's all these big moments, you know, where they had to face something in their life, but they were ready for it and they were able to make the right decisions and withstand the test of time, if you would say it like that. And focusing on two people this morning, and I want to start with Jesus. I mean, Jesus arrived, like Nigel, what you prayed earlier, you know, it was so special because we can't ever repay what Jesus did for us, and that's why we're here this morning. Jesus came to a specific time in Israel history, prophesied over many generations. You know, there was prophecies made about his coming. So many prophecies in the Old Testament, we're not going to go into that. But when Jesus arrived, even in his first 30 years of his life, he waited for his appointed time. So Mark 1 verse 15 says, the appointed period of time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. This is Jesus speaking. And then it's not on the slides, but it actually goes on and says, repent, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, regret past sins, live your life in a way that proves repentance, seek God's purpose for your life, and believe with a deep, abiding trust in the good news regarding salvation. This is in Mark 1 verse 15. beginning of Mark, the book of Mark, and this is Jesus preaching here, and doing evangelism, call it. And in Matthew 26:18, he says, this is at the end, just before he was captured to be crucified. He said to one of his disciples, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time to suffer and atone for sin is near. So Jesus knew there was a point of time. He was prepared for what was coming, although there was obviously the prayers that he prayed that was, you know, he was dying for the sins of mankind, for his creation, for his bride. He was laying himself down on the cross so we can have life. And that was the defining moment that he had to be obedient to. And he lived, obviously, the disciplined life leading up to it to save us as his children. Isn't that beautiful? And then this week I was just so encouraged by Daniel. That's the other man I just want to point out this morning. This man served in the government for more than 70 years. So he was captured. Hercules mentioned about him last week, how they were undefiled, pure, and then they were excellent in all their ways. Young boys taken up into the king's courts, trained to be Babylonians, speak like the Babylonians, do everything the Babylonians do. And he served in that. He served actually quite a few. If you go read the book of Daniel, it's mind-boggling. Like the amount of kings that he served under. People would, like the Syrian king will take over and he will serve under the Syrian king. That's where the lion's den situation came in. And then there's only 10 chapters, but there was these couple of divine moments, defining moments, in, you know, that's pointed out in those few chapters that changed not only his life, but also the nation's life. So after more than 70 years in captivity, So he was in captivity, serving the government. He was probably close to his 80s already, and he had, you know, he realized that the prophecy that Jeremiah made right in the beginning of the captivity, saying, listen, in 70 years' time from now, your God will call you back to the land of your fathers. So he was in a position to go to the king and request for the exiles to move back to Jerusalem. And that's what happened. That's where the story of Nehemiah falls in. It's just beautiful, you know, like one man's purpose fed into a corporate country, nationwide defining moment. And I hope God is stirring something in all of our hearts this morning. I really hope we can walk out here this morning and just be challenged with this concept that God has called each one of us as individuals to step into our Kairos moments and look forward to it. And when it happens, not be caught completely off guard and not be ready for it. And that's where we're coming to now. I'm just starting the sermon. This is just introduction time. So I want to encourage you, for some of you, you know, not to allow weariness and frustration to settle in. You know, sometimes there's long seasons of waiting. I'm thinking of Abraham, you know, waiting for his promise. David waiting 20 years for his kingdom to come to pass. So he had this promise as a young man. He had to wait 20 years before he became the king of Israel. And he was the greatest king of Israel. So I want to encourage you to be faithful in the mundane. We need to fast and watch and pray continuously and seek God in this time. Satan will especially try to alter our God's timing in our lives if it's connected to a defining or connected to a corporate destiny, I'd say that. I'm just thinking somebody like Moses, you know, Pharaoh really went out of his way to kill him. David also had a man, Saul, that went out of his way to kill him because he was threatened by this, you know. But there was a redemptive purpose on his life, and he had to be patient with where God's timing was. And that's what's so beautiful about David. He didn't jump the gun. That was not the right word to use, but he was patient. Like he says in Psalm 27, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. I'm going to leave that with you guys this morning, is to wait patiently on the Lord and not run ahead of ourselves. That's something that Hercules spoke about a lot last week, and I'm really just tying in with that. It really challenged me, because I have, in my life, I often felt that I was running ahead of myself. I was striving a lot. I grew up in this performance-based culture that I had to achieve something and do things. And yes, there's a place of being patient and waiting for God's timing. I met Jen at the perfect time in the middle. Also, it's funny how God sometimes takes me into the wilderness, literally. And that's where I met Jen, on a game reserve. That was 2 hours drive to the closest city. Yes. And then, you know, we've been married for 6 years and it's beautiful how God has brought us together and our little family, and now being ready for parenthood. It's a new season for us, so it's a lot of personal things happening as well. So I just, yes, there's a couple of things how we can position ourselves and prepare ourselves for these defining moments that I am putting my faith out this morning. The one is to love the Word of God, like back with David in Psalm 119, you know, if you go read Psalms, he meditated on the Word of God and the statutes of God day and night. And, you know, he allowed God to be the light to his path and the lamp to his feet. It's just so beautiful. And then having an eternal focus is one that I also just want to point out. You know, chronos time, if we can draw it back to creation, draw it back, you know, when we, this life on earth, this time of generational time, nations being formed, you know, kings being appointed, kings dying. There's, you know, Britain has definitely got a long history of wars and fighting, and there's back World War II, there's probably, the English will probably say there was other defining moments in the World War II. Like, I think my father-in-law will probably say the Battle of Britain, Spitfires were the defining moments of World War II. But just having an eternal perspective on these things will bring in place God's perspective on these moments that we live in, you know, that God has called us to just become comfortable with his timing. God is outside of chronos time. He lives outside of that. He's created chronos time for us to live in and do our daily lives and to honor him through that. But there's still these moments that God wants to come in and divinely set up for us, even before we were born. That's the beautiful thing. We've got a little child that's growing in Jen's belly at the moment, but we're already speaking purpose over that child and praying God's timing into that person's life. We'll meet him next year, or her. Amen. So the other one is faith. I want to encourage all of us to not neglect the faith moments when other people around us even step out in faith. You know, sometimes I know in the past I was very critical on other people when they prayed a prayer of faith for healing, for example. And I think, no ways, this is not appropriate time. Or, you know, but there's, you know, I realized there was a lot about my own pride and my own attitude towards it. And there's a place where God wants us to acknowledge, you know, when he walks into a situation like Jesus did when he healed the man at Bethesda, the beggar that was there for more than 30 years. Jesus asked the beggar, because the beggar had the attitude, he can't be healed, he can't get himself to the bath to be healed. And then he asked him, do you want to be healed? And his response was, he can't get himself there. But Jesus said, get up and walk. And the most inappropriate time for the religious authorities, because it was on the Sabbath day and everybody was upset about that. The amazing thing is this man could walk and he could dance and say, I am healed. It's just, you know, when God walks into a situation and changes things, we could either have, you know, throw a blind eye to it, or we could walk away from it. I'm just sad to see some revivals in the past that was, you know, where God has done things outside of a religious framework or theological mindset. You know, unfortunately, people missed the beauty of what God wanted to do in people's lives. I had such a moment when I was at high school. I had a defining moment with my dad where I had to make a big decision on becoming a member of this church, which, you know, it's almost 20 years later. But there was I really wanted his blessing on the situation, because I was stepping away from the church that I grew up in. And it was just such a big moment in my life, because I could really decide. You know, I realized that God was pointing me in that direction, and there was a decision that I made from there, and it was just beautiful to see the road that I've walked, that God has taken me on the last 20 years, you know, growing in faith and growing this family. And I want to encourage you all to keep pressing in to where God has called you to be. The fourth point I just want to point out here is to honor and respect God, and especially the people around you. So in John 13, verse 30 to 35, Jesus says, after taking the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. Jesus said, so now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in the Son and himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you are not able to come. I am giving you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. So you too are to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love and unselfish concern for one another. And this verse 35 just stood out for me so beautifully, where Jesus says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love and if you have love and unselfish concern for one another. And this is a space we need to step into, guys, to have that love and unselfish concern for one another. This is Jesus' command to us, you know, at these appointed time. So, you know, Hercules mentioned also last week about, you know, are we too critical on one another? It's easy to point out the mistakes, point a finger and say, oh, you're doing this, this is your sin, I recognize that. It's a bigger challenge to walk a road with one another and to say, listen, I'm going to put my hand around your shoulder and we're going to yoke together through this. That's the bigger challenge that we have as a congregation even. God uses the wise, the foolish to shame the wise, and the weak to shame the mighty. I believe God has put all of us together here in this congregation for a reason, and in relationship with one another. That's so precious, and we need to value that. And I want to encourage you guys to tap into that and pray about it and ask God where, how we can have this unselfish concern for one another, love for one another. Are you with me? Amen. Matthew 23, verse 39. Jesus also said, for I say to you, you will not see me again ministering to you publicly until you say, blessed to be celebrated with praise is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So this ties in with just these points that I mentioned about having, you know, recognizing faith moves and honoring one another, honoring God when he moves, honoring leadership. I'm glad Hercules is not here on his off day, but he, you know, them as a family made a big decision to come to the UK, to settle here and to be our, be the pastor family, pastoral family for us. And so we need to honor them as a family as well. And I want to encourage you to go pray about it, how we do that as individuals. So I'm going to actually conclude. I'm surprised that I went through my notes so quickly. I'm going to quote just a little section from a great prophetic man or intercessor. He wrote a book called Intercessory Prayer. Recognize it, touch sheets. He says, strategic moments or opportunities. He says this, God has been preparing pioneers, deliverers, and reformers in the Kronos moments, desert places of prayer, to take advantage of the Kairos strategic moments. So just to explain that, many of us have been going through these Kronos moments in our lives and journeying with God, but God has been preparing each one of us for the Kairos strategic moments that he wants us to step into. And it's an exciting time, and you know, we can declare that weariness will be lifted over our lives, that we can step into these seasons that God has ahead for us. The big thing is for us to prepare and position ourselves and persevere through those dry times for the rains when it does come. And things can change very quickly. That's what I also just want to alert you to today, because from plowing and standing in these persistent prayers to walking into new doors, when doors open up, it can happen very quickly and it can be disorientating. I think that's something for me. I don't like being disorientated in a position where I wasn't prepared for. But that's how quickly things can happen. I want to close with this last scripture, Isaiah 43, verse 19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And this is just a scripture that's been on my heart to close off with. And now, you know, God doing a new thing. I'm so excited, guys, to see what God is going to be doing in and amongst us in the next few weeks, months, years. And looking back again, you know, it's always nice to reflect back and see, wow, where did we come from? How did this happen? How did this come about? And just being able to say, this was God. Like my testimony from earlier, you know, I know that God has brought me to a space in my life where I was ready to go reconcile with my parents in an area of my life that I've never spoken to them about before. And I am also excited about what's lying ahead for me. I can't say how parent or fatherhood will be now. And, you know, maybe we just have our own child. But spiritually also, I'm excited to grow in being a spiritual dad into a season where, you know, I need to prepare myself now for that. So if there's anything that's come to mind while I was mentioning about my own life or some of these men of faith that I mentioned earlier, we would really like to pray with you after the service today and just to agree together on it. I think there's definitely a space for that this morning, for us to agree on things that's happening individually in your lives. And then also we need to go out this week and pray earnestly and ask God, what is this going to look like when the seasons change and when we move through the Jordan, and how do we prepare ourselves by walking in faith? How does eternity look like in my life at the moment? It looks a little bit overwhelming. And how would it look afterwards? Like, you know, these breakthroughs that's going to come, you know, when people get saved in the millions, how does it look like? You know, so there's change happening. Are you comfortable with change? Not a bit uneasy, yes. But that's my word this morning. My mother-in-law, so I'm glad you're here this morning. It's really blessed. But she was last night sort of telling me, Ed, just remember to start with what you actually want to say. And I'm going to finish with what I wanted to say, is that it's important. It's important to prepare and position ourselves and to persevere. So remember those three P's, if you would call it that. Prepare, position, persevere, if you want to take something home like that. But please go read through the scriptures. Daniel is a good book to go just meditate on this week. It falls into what Hakula spoke about last week. Please go listen to that sermon. And I'm putting out my faith that God will speak to each of us individually, and that will feed into a corporate thing that God is doing amongst us in the bigger scheme of things. This nation, there's massive needs out there, and God wants to use us to reach the nations. So this is a word of encouragement, not to talk you guys into a space of uneasiness, but yes, everything in this season. Amen? So I hope you all know what the time is. Time has changed this morning. So let's all stand.